It is Sister Lois Grant's birthday today. I've known this lady for many, many years. As I was thinking back, I realized I was just 5 years old when I was the flower girl in her and Pastor Roy's wedding. And I was just trying to reflect a little bit on her heart, because it is Valentine's Day. And what I would say is she has a very service-oriented heart. She has the heart of a servant. She's very kind-hearted. She's very tender-hearted. And she has been steadfast for all these years, no matter what life has thrown her way. So today is the day that we need to celebrate her. So we just have a little bit for her, a little something for her. And so just help me wish her a happy birthday today.
What that is, I'm guessing it's an air fryer, because I'm really good at dropping hints. I figure if you want something, just let people know. but I do wish everybody else a happy Valentine's Day. I always said Thanksgiving, I don't know why. And stay warm, stay safe, and I love you all too. Thank you.
All right, if you'd stand with me, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer for the remainder of this service. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this precious and special day that you've given to each and every one of us, God. Thank you for life. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for all you're doing in our midst, God. Thank you for Sister Grant's birthday, God. Thank you for the message that Pastor's going to preach. Thank you for the worship that we've been ushered into, God, and all that you're doing, God. Have your way. Let hearts and minds be touched, God. Let healing miracles go forth. Let victories be won today, God. Let chains be broken, God. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your victory in this service, in this church, and in this state and in this nation, God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and praise. Have your way in this service and in our hearts on this Valentine's Day. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God, the still inside the soul, the promise of the soul. Thank you. Thank you.
great, how great you are. My God, how great you are. How great you are. My God, how great you are.
The Lord, church. There's just such a sweet presence. Let's just lift our hands one more time. And we serve an awesome God. I am just at times just overwhelmed by His, just amazed at His glory and His presence that we can feel. Praise the Lord, everyone. So great to have you all out here on this probably coldest day of the year, I think, so far. I think they said we're supposed to set some records to last night and today. And I was telling the worship team, thank you so very much to our worship team. Sister Sarah, you did an awesome job this morning. I think they said it was in Prideaux. I think that's how you pronounce it, Prideaux Bay, Alaska. It was 125 below zero. So when we think it's cold here, somebody somewhere else always has it worse. Of course, it's sunny and 70 in Singapore, so I guess you just determine. You can be seated. The ladies are having a coffee cake coming up. I remember when we lived in, I was telling Brother Seidel this before service, when we lived in Shawano, we had a family in our church, the Rappich family, and we came from deep East Texas, and we moved from East Texas to Shawano, Wisconsin in January, and we had never seen snow and never experienced a cold like we're experiencing like today. And here you've got a East Texas plant family that we moved to Shawano and started a church there. But we would go over quite often after service to the Rappages home, and they would invite us over for coffee cake. And I was like Isaiah's age maybe, and I didn't like coffee. And I'm not eating coffee cake, because coffee cake, why would you call it coffee cake if it doesn't taste like coffee? So I would always just say I didn't like it. So Sister Rappage, we had lived there for some time, so she had found out I liked cinnamon toast. I'd never had in Texas. We didn't have cinnamon toast. I'm sure they had it, but we never had it. And I had never had cinnamon and sugar just on buttered bread before. I mean, who makes sandwiches without mayonnaise? You know? So it's all of these little adjustments. So she was making me, because I didn't like her coffee cake, she was making me the cinnamon toast. And one day she asked me, how come I liked cinnamon toast, but I didn't like the cinnamon in her coffee cake? And I said, well, because it's coffee. She said, no, it doesn't taste like coffee. It's a cinnamon crumb coffee cake. And I said, but I don't like coffee. She said, but it doesn't taste like coffee. So for years, I thought coffee cake tasted like coffee. So I would never eat coffee cake. So I don't know why I said all of that, just to say other than I'm hungry this morning. And coffee cake got me started here. Last week, for the last few weeks, we finished a 7-week, three-lesson series or three-part series on resetting. And we talked about resetting our minds, our souls, our bodies. And I wish to continue on this journey. We started a two-part series on Wednesday evening about resetting your dreams. And as we kind of go through this part in our lives, not just because it's 2021, but because of all of the events that happened in 2020 and now carrying into 2021, it just seems like so many things in life has just kind of been put on hold. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't watched the series online, to go online and just watch the series. Like I said, it's three parts. I think it's a total of 7 lessons talking about resetting our souls, resetting our minds, and resetting our bodies. And I just want to encourage you not to give up on any portion of the resetting of life. I understand that things don't happen overnight, and we don't get rid of bad habits overnight, just like we don't build good habits overnight. It's something that is a process. So resetting your dreams, I found out that when we struggle in life, and we have struggles in life, our first tendency is to back off. When we run into some sort of a trouble in life, some sort of an obstacle in life, we have a tendency to just back up a little bit, retreat. Also, we're really good at blaming other people. If things don't happen how we would like for them to happen or how we think they should happen, and rather than launching out or pushing our way through whatever that situation may be in life, we begin to build a bank of excuses. We can't always blame our circumstances for our successes and for our failures. But our job, as Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28:19, our job, he says, is to go. To go. To go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our job, our mission, our purpose is to do what we have been called to do. And many times in life, we blame the giant that is outside, which creates an imaginary problem or an imaginary mountain. And this giant is an excuse that we use most oftentimes in our life to not even try. Excuses can always be found. I want to just let you know today that you could find all kinds of excuses and not even really have to try. There are things that are happening around us. We can use all sorts of health excuses and all sorts of fears as excuses. And excuses can become a cage that we put ourselves into. But God's plan for us is to make great steps, or to step out in faith and in trust, because God has told us and he has promised us that he will slay every giant that stands in our way. Whatever that giant is in your life, I can't speak for your life this morning. I've said this many times, the only life that I can live is my own life. And I know inside, in my heart and in my mind, what giants are in my way this morning that are keeping me from stepping out to where God desires me to be. And as we continue our resetting thought process, we need to reset our dreams. I know in 2020, we had all these dreams, all these visions, and all of that kind of seemingly went up in smoke. We need to reset our dreams, reset our passions, and reset our goals. And in order to do this, there are a few mindsets perhaps that we need to get rid of or rid ourselves of. And we covered a few of these on Wednesday evening. And I one of the ones we need, just as a review, we need to be set free from the fear of failure. What would you do in life if you knew you would not or could not fail? How would you live life differently? Imaginary problems. So many times we just imagine things. We think we hear things. We think we see things. We imagine. The imaginary problems must be cast down. We must guard the battle for our mind. That was part of our series when we talked about resetting our minds. We must spend time in the presence of God. If you want to get closer to God and you want to know more about God, you have to spend time with him. It's a relationship. We are in a relationship. Today's Valentine's Day, and many of you may be sitting next to your sweetheart, and you got to know your sweetheart by spending time with them, by being in their presence. And you have to consecrate yourself, have to prepare yourself. And I asked you, I gave you a couple critical questions on Wednesday evening. One was, how deep is your desire to experience the next level God has ordained in your life? And then how or what are you willing to give up to get there? We talked about dreams being highly contagious. Sometimes when you're around someone that has dreams and ambitions, it's very easy. It's a contagious. And then we ended up our service on Wednesday evening with praising your way out of the hold of negativity and complacency in your life. You can't live out your assignment, live out your calling, your purpose, or your ministry living in a land of bondage. We talked about Israel, how they had to leave the land of bondage heading to a promise. And in that promise, they would fulfill their God-given purpose or their calling. And we will have those Jerichos in our lives, and we have to praise our way through. And if your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. Don't allow yourself to be dominated by the spirit of fear. And don't allow anyone to take away your dream. God will not say at the end, he will not say, well, that was well planned or that was well said. He's only going to say that was well done. So many times we have well plans, and so many times we have well statements, and we say things well, but we don't follow through or complete. So this past fall, kind of a little situation at our home, and it's kind of been an ongoing situation. Not anything negative or bad, but I would go out to the bird feeder a lot of times after dark, and I would put feed in the bird feeder, and I noticed that there was some little kind of critter that was hanging out around the base of the bird feeder. And I never could quite figure out what it was because it was always dark. So I took out a bright light one evening and I had the porch light on and I heard this little scuffling and scurrying in the bushes, and I turned on my bright light and I looked and I just could see the tail end of something that I thought was a squirrel. But I thought, well, that's kind of odd because typically squirrels aren't out after dark. And it wasn't long after that, and I started to hear this little faint meow sound from time to time, and I realized that we had a little tiny kitty that was living in and around our bird feeder in our backyard. So this little kitty he looks pretty fierce from the onset. He's all black, got a beautiful shiny black coat. He's got the most beautiful green piercing eyes of a little kitty cat. And I know he wants to be fierce because he'll come up to the back door now and we put food out for him every day and he'll meow and he'll paw at the back door. And the bottom line is this little kitty is really kind of afraid of his own shadow. Every time I go to lift or open up the door and he hears the patio door slide, he'll run around the corner into a little house that we built for him in the back, and he'll run into his little house and he'll wait for the door to open, and when he doesn't hear the door, he'll come back around and sneak around the corner. And just yesterday, for the first time in the cold, I opened up the back door to see what he would do, and he came into the house all on his own, and he was standing on the back rug, and his paws were pulling into the carpet, and he didn't like the feel of the rug, and he wasn't quite for sure, and he would sneak around, and he was very intrigued by the fire, and I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be great, because we're going to get him to come into the house, and I don't have to worry about him freezing to death. So I had this bright idea. Every time I would get close to him, he'd run back out the door. So I thought, I'm going to tie a string around the door handle. And when he comes in far enough, I'm going to pull the door closed. So he can't go out. So he's forced to explore a new territory, something that is totally foreign to him. Now, every day he sits at the back patio, and he will look in for hours sometimes through the window and through the patio door. So I tie the string on the door, and I left the door open, and sure enough, as they say, curiosity killed the cat. The poor little guy couldn't stand himself. He comes in. He gets in, and I'm standing in the corner, and I grab the string, and I go to pull the string, and he turned around to dart back out the door. And I caught him halfway in and halfway out. Now he's scared to death of the door. I begin to think about this in life, how that this little kitty so much desires, as he's looking through the glass and he sees the warmth and he sees the comfort and he's intrigued and he wants so much to be a part of it, but he's afraid. He's afraid. Now, we've kind of nicknamed him. We really don't have a technical name for him, so he's kind of a little scaredy cat. And we tend in life, we can be one of the two, one of the following. We can either be a scaredy cat or a fraidy cat, which sometimes we may use that term, or we can be a lion chaser. Recently, because of the cold, I haven't been able to get outdoors and do as much as I normally would like to do, and you get stuck sometimes. You just get on YouTube and you just get stuck. Anybody can relate to that? I was watching a video of African lions on the plains, and fearsome how they're chasing. They chase down all sorts of animals. You watch them chase down a wildebeest and chase down even a big, huge black Cape buffalo. The gazelles, the zebras, I even watched them as they chase down a giraffe. Whole pride of lions on this giraffe, and it just looked funny because this giraffe was so huge and just lumbering through the woods and the jungle, and he's got half a dozen lions hanging off him all over, and watched him try to take out a hippo, and such. But there was one that was really intriguing because it was a little warthog. I don't know if you know much about warthogs. I just keep going back to the Lion King, which is probably 20 years ago now with the Lion King. But begin to think about that little warthog on the Lion King and his attitude. Now watch the lion try to take down a warthog. And this warthog had no idea that he was as small as he was and the lion was as big as he was. But this little warthog turned around after he was tired of being chased by this lion, and he charged the lion head on and just slammed into the lion's head like you would headbutt something. And the lion kind of stunned itself for a moment, kind of stands up and looks at it and shakes its head, and the warthog is like, "You want it again?" Now begin to think about this. That little warthog began to remind me of David. When we look at life, how that the giant is taunting him and he's laughing at him. And you may be here this morning and the enemy, the giant in your life, may be taunting you and laughing at you. But what did David do? I love it how that David turned, and Scripture tells us he ran towards the giant. He's like that little warthog saying, "I'm tired of getting batted around, and I'm tired of your insults." You see, he charged the giant, he ran towards the giant. So my challenge to us this morning is, do we want to be fierce? Do we want to challenge that lion, that giant in our life? Or do we want to be like the little scaredy cat that lives underneath Pastor Roy's back porch? To where that we're afraid. You see, we cannot have a victory. If you want a victory in your life, you can't have a victory without a battle. And there's no story without a conflict. We have to understand that in life, conflict is part of the plan. It's part of the journey from where we are to everywhere God is calling us to stand. So are we going to be afraid, constantly afraid? Are we going to stand at the back door of opportunity and look in and desire? Or are we going to be afraid every time God goes and opens up the door and we're afraid of the sound of the door and turn around and run? We have to understand something. When it comes to God's plan and God's will for our lives, God's plan for your life is always, always, always going to require faith. And so many times faith isn't spelled F-A-I-T-H, but it's spelled R-I-S-K. Risk. So how do we trust God's plan? When we look at this, how do we trust God's plan for our lives? First, I just want to challenge you, absorb yourself in Scripture. Absorb yourself in the Word of God. Because as Bishop has taught us over the years, the Word of God is literally, it's a book that we can, it's a guideline, a roadmap to life. And it applies to every area of our life today. It's necessary. We have to understand that the plan that you have perhaps for your life is a plan that God gave you, a dream. And that plan is not yours. This took me a while to realize this, especially over the last 18 months when things begin to kind of unravel with COVID, and you look at all of the plans and all the dreams, and I begin to realize, I'm like, Lord, everything is just unraveling. What's happening? What's going on? Why is this happening? And I began to realize that God's plan for my life isn't my plan. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. And I have to trust God. And trusting God's plan for my life begins when I come to the realization that the plan is not really mine. It's God's. And I can trust it a whole lot more if I know it's God's and not mine. Because if it's mine, I don't need God. So there's no point in trusting God. So if you've, I want to urge you that whatever plan perhaps you are living in your life, your lifelong dream, take heart. But don't be afraid to trade your lifelong dream for a better plan from God, because God has a better plan for you. And understand, if your ambitions and your plans are not coming to fruition, then pray about them and see what God has planned for you. And then we have to allow God to take control of our life. You see, we read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts," this is God talking to Isaiah, who is a great Old Testament prophet. God is saying, "For my thoughts, Isaiah, are not your thoughts." So I like to personalize scripture, because I like to think that God was writing this to Isaiah, but he was also writing it to me. So God can say, "Roy, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And Roy, your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth." What God is telling me there is God has a much more accurate perspective, because he's saying the heavens are much higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And this can be at times a bit humbling. I had to rethink a lot of things over the past year when it came to this. All of this was happening. All of this, life was changing so quickly. But I just feel so much more at peace now than I did a year ago at this time, perhaps, because I know who's guiding me. I know who's guiding me. I know who's leading me. So you have to ask, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, who is guiding me? Who is leading me? Am I off on my own here? God will not lead you away from what is best for you. Did you know that? God's not going to take you down some road of destruction. There may be difficulty. There may be difficult times. I'm not going to take anything from that. There's going to be problems. There's going to be crisis. You're going to have to deal with things, because that's how life works. But his ways are higher than ours, and he knows what he is doing. Years ago, my wife and I, we loved every year we would go on about a typically 2-week vacation. And we had made numerous vacations all over the country, and we'd always take other people with us. We had a motorhome, and we'd load up sometimes 2 or 3 families, and we'd head south. And we had some great times. But my wife and I, in 2003, we decided that we're going to go on our first vacation that we had ever gone on with just the two of us. And so we decided that we're going to go to the Grand Canyon, Arizona. And I'm looking at the maps, and I love to plan out trips. I just love to do it. And I'm looking at all of the things I want to see, but I decided that driving across Nebraska was not something that I really wanted to do. So like a madman, I'm in that motorhome, and I've got that thing floored as fast as it'll go. And I'm driving like a possessed man across Nebraska. I'm not stopping for anything. I could go about 700, 800 miles on a tank of fuel. And my wife's like, are we going to pull over and rest? Nope. When are we going to stop for the night? We're not. We're going to drive all night? Yep. Why is that? There's nothing I want to see in Nebraska. Nothing in Nebraska that I want to see. You see, at that point in my life, this is a simple point, but it's so very important. So please, some of you younger ones, get this and get it now so you don't have to learn the lesson when you're 50. I drove like a possessed man to get to the mountains because that's where my vacation in my mind officially started. Vacation didn't start till we got to Colorado. But you see, one thing I learned about in life was if I slowed down just a little bit and I paid a little bit more attention to the road, I would find out that there's some awesome places in Nebraska. In fact, for years I drove across Nebraska as quick as I could, Interstate 80, one end to the other. It wasn't until I realized that Highway 2 going across northern parts of Nebraska takes you through some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country. You see, I had to slow down to enjoy the journey. And the same principles apply to our lives today. Trusting God with our future often means focusing on the journey, not the destination. And we miss out on everything God is trying to show us by skipping and rushing through parts of life that we don't think has much significance or much to offer. So God's main objective is God is constantly, 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 constantly trying to work in our hearts and in our minds. And God is constantly trying to perfect us and remove things out of us. And sometimes it takes Nebraska to get some of that stuff out of your life. We don't often look at sin and disobedience. When we look at sin, we don't look at disobedience all the time as sin. We look at disobedience with God more as a disagreement with God. We've taken disobedience and in our minds, we've watered it down to disobedience as I just disagree with God. And God calls us or asked us or is drawing us to do something, and we don't want to do that. And the Bible speaks of the sin of disobedience. I had a lot of struggle with the sin of disobedience. We look at disobedience. We look at it as, well, God, I have a preference in my life. I would prefer not to do that. I'm calling you into this area of ministry, and we say, well, God, I would prefer not to do that. And God's saying, that's disobedience, and we're saying it's a preference. Well, God, I don't want to do that. So God desires to remove and fill. Remove those things in our lives and fill us. And what does he desire to fill us with? These are all things that I had to learn driving across Nebraska. I had to learn about love. I had to learn about joy. I had to learn about peace. I had to learn about patience. And this can only be accomplished by making the journey. You see, the ups and downs of life, the pain and the joy, all teach us. We've got to understand, this is so just fundamental life this morning. The ups and downs of life, the pain and the joy, they all teach us. They change us. They mold us and they equip us and encourage us to be more like Him. Our journey is that of purification, purifying ourselves from our sinful nature and desiring to be like Him. As you stand this morning and our musicians can come, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 in the NIV says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we will know when Christ appears, and we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. You see, one thing I found out, that some of those pain and the joy and enjoying the journey where life has you right now, on your way to fulfilling your dreams, you see, learning to trust God, the timing is so, so critical in everything. So many times in our lives, we try to out-time God. We say, "God, I'm ready for this. Bring it on. I'm ready." God says, "No, no, 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 no. Just wait. Just hold up a little bit." "No, but God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Trust me, I'm ready." God says, "No, just wait. Just wait. Hold up a little bit." "No, God, you don't understand. I'm ready like right now. Send me that wife today. Give me that house right now. Give me that job now, right now, God." And God says, "Well, there's a lot of Nebraska left." "You've got some more miles to put in." Oftentimes, we feel what's best for us, and we keep God at like an arm's length. But you have to understand, this period of waiting, this period of trust, this period of trusting and waiting is helping us to grow spiritually, and it sets the stage for God's will to unfold in your life in even a greater way than what we can ever imagine. So does a journey begin? Does your dream begin in Colorado? No, your dream begins as you load your vehicle. You're living your dream. Every day in life, we live our dream. And if we're going to expect the impossible, if we're going to expect the impossible from God, then we have to expect to be challenged. Learning to trust God's plan is not going to always be easy street. You're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged. But the good news is that through these challenges, we will see the goodness of God and learn so much more about God and His character, as well as me and my character. Remember Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Keep this scripture close, because life is hard and we cannot do life on our own strength. Jesus said in Mark 10:27, with man this is impossible, but with me all things are possible. All things are possible. If we relied on our own planning, then we have to rely on our own weaknesses and what little strength we have compared to God. But all things are possible with God. We can rest. We can rest in that truth. I love what the Lord said to Jeremiah. He says, I am the Lord. I'm the God of all humanity. Is anything too hard for me? Anything too hard for me? So no matter what we are facing right now, know that nothing is too hard for the God that we serve. We're going to be a fraidy cat this morning, or are we going to boldly charge the enemy? As our praise team begins to sing this morning, resetting your dreams, resetting your dreams. If you're on your journey, wherever that journey may be taking you, every journey has its ups and downs. Every journey has its flat tires. It struggles.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Every heart that is broken, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. Praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord. to the darkness you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great.
I want to encourage you before you leave this morning that enjoying the journey is part of your relationship with God. So many times we want to rush from point A to point B and we want to hurry through life. I laugh because Nebraska, I found out, I got online and I found a working cattle ranch outside of Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. We drug Glenn and Kitty Rossing there with us. And we have a Jeep, and Glenn and I drove the Jeep up to the top of a huge bluff that was on the property. It was pretty rugged to get up there, and we got up there and you could see Chimney Rock. You could see Scott's Bluff, and it was absolutely gorgeous. There's all kinds of beautiful moments that God has for you in life. If we just took the time and didn't hurry and try to get ahead of God. So just relax a little bit. Slow down a little bit and enjoy what God has for you. Doesn't mean there are days where you won't have to yes. But God says it's time to speed things up. We speed things up. But even in the frigid cold, on a day like today, you can enjoy your journey. So God bless you. Thank you so very much to our worship team today. Did an incredible job, Sister Hannah. We love you. Appreciate you all. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday evening.